Hello and welcome back to the Rusted Culture Show. I'm your host, as you know, Frank Ebersold. And, you know, I was just going to kind of relax and take in the news today with a cup of coffee. I didn't want to grab the mic, but after reading a story, you know, I get so worked up about some of this stuff. After reading a story with my afternoon coffee, another story, yet another one about Roy Moore, along with my coffee. You know, I just got, I don't know if it was the caffeine or what it was, the combination of the two got me all gunned up. And you know me, I've said enough about Roy Moore. Everyone knows how I feel about Roy Moore. You know, I've gone on at length. We've talked about the things that he's done, the outlandish, crazy crap this guy's, you know, been up to here. The endless parade of hatred, really. Hatred and, you know, it's all encapsulated. The thing that gets me mad about Roy Moore is the fact that anytime somebody wraps all of this hate with religion, when you put that religion wrapper around it, and I was raised Baptist, you know, I've been to a Christian school for 12 years. I know the deal. And boy, I can pick it out like nobody's business. When you wrap that kind of religion around hatred, it gets me upset. You know, it should get everybody upset. I mean, basically, that's what folks take religion and they use it for their gain. And, you know, it was never meant to be like that. At least the religion that I know, the Baptist, it was never meant to be like that, but it gets used like that, and it's used all over the world. As you know, ISIS uses religion to do what they do and to make it all good. You know, it's all about that. But when I read that Roy Moore is using this event, this latest event, as a fundraiser, you know, I get all wound up about it. When he's using this last event as a fundraiser, and the event that I'm referring to is the Washington Post story in which four women, at the time they were teenagers, but they say Roy Moore pursued them sexually or romantically when they were in their teens. You know, that's the story that's hit the news. And, you know, the funny part of it is, Alabama being what it is, it may not make a difference. You know, which, in my view, is a good reason to go around Alabama if you're ever going someplace. By God, I'll be double-D'd if I have to go through Alabama for anything after this. You know, it's just, if they elect this guy and this is the way they think, it's not for me. It shouldn't be for anybody, for God's sakes. Well, you know, the Washington Post interviewed 30 people in getting the facts straight on this story. 30 people. But Roy Moore here, in an effort to turn lemon into lemonade, he says to his supporters in an email, I'm going to quote you what he says. He says that, "I believe you and I have a duty to stand up and fight back against the forces of evil waging an all-out war on conservative values." He goes on to say, "Will you take a stand by chipping in a donation to let me know you've got my back in our all-out war against the Obama-Clinton machine?" So, not only is he going against the testimony of these four women, And there's other people that are, you know, probably going to come out. There's another one here that I'll tell you about in a second. But he takes all of that, you know, all of that, you know, the testimony from these people, and he wraps this with the wrapper as it's an attack on conservative values. It's an evil force that's against him. And not only that, but it's an Obama-Clinton machine. I mean, my God. Obama-Clinton machine? I mean, what? I mean, yeah, if they could pick up a stick and smack him with it, yeah, they'd do it. But other than that, there is no Clinton Obama machine. But that's the button that he's using. He's using stuff like that. Again, he's very crafty about this. You take all of that, you wrap it with religion, and like I've talked about before, you put labels on it, and he's labeling this thing as a force of evil, and he's also calling it part of the Obama Clinton machine. Wow. And when you talk about forces of evil here, I mean, my God, there's no greater evil than a pattern of dating a 14-year-old in my book and then lying about it. We, the media, are not your evil target. I can guarantee you that. The media is not the evil target. The story is factual and not fake news. In fact, I might add, Roy Moore's former colleague that he used to work with, Roy Moore's former colleague says it was common knowledge that Roy dated teens in their back in the 80s when Roy was in his 30s. It was common knowledge. And this colleague is a former prosecutor who once worked alongside of Roy Moore in the early 80s. And he says, we all wondered why someone his age would hang out at high school football games and hang out at the mall, but you really wouldn't say anything to someone like that. Wow. I mean, we got an odd duck here, folks. This guy's a creeper. Creeper. I mean, no two ways around it. And his former colleague, by the last name of Jones, he's a partner at a Sarasota, Florida law firm and has also served as deputy DA for the Etowah County, Alabama. Served as a deputy DA there from 82 to 85. You know, the thing that boils my blood about this, and it should you too, is the fact that this man, Roy Moore, is supposedly a Christian. You know, he's even used his toxic pulpit, a toxic pulpit to discriminate against other people in the name of Jesus. And I think we all know what the Bible says about lying. And if we go back to Proverbs 19, chapter 19, verse 9, I quote you here. In terms of the Bible, it says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. Now, I think we're reading from the same book here, Roy, and that's what it says about lying. And that's what makes this a despicable act here, that the dating of this 14-year-old. Meeting her in his car around the corner so nobody would find out about it. And then there's the secondary aspect of trying to obviously have sex with this 14-year-old. Didn't occur, but obviously that was the intent, you know, according to the Washington Post story. And if that's not bad as it is, you have this man, Roy Moore, using the mantle and words of God to promote his chances of becoming the next senator of Alabama. And, you know, Roy has made a career of using the words of God to promote every aspect of his career. And if this story is true that the Washington Post published, if this story is true, and I do believe that it is, it would all come crashing down around Roy Moore. If he told the truth, wouldn't it? You know, and I can see the hurdle here. I mean, he's got a 40-year career, but you got to do the right thing. You got to do the right thing. And if you follow the Bible, it tells you how it feels about it. And you know, as somebody here, I'll tell you, you obviously know that I'm not a Republican, but I don't have an interest in this race, the Senate race that's happening in Alabama. I don't have any interest in it. You know, if Roy wins, and despite this story that we just talked about, he still may win. I mean, this is Alabama. He still might win the race. But I can tell you this, folks, if he does win the race, if he does win, and I know old boy Steve Bannon's gunning for him to win, but you know what? I don't think it's going to be good if he wins. I mean, Alabamans might stand up and cheer. Roy Moore might stand up and cheer when he wins, but he was toxic before. And if he's the new senator in Alabama, the new Republican senator, it's going to be even more toxic than before. But at the end of the day, even if he wins, I do know that most Republicans will not stand for this hypocrite to be in the party. Given the content and the details of this story and the fact that he obviously can't come to grips with the truth, it will drive folks away from the Republican Party. I don't know how Republicans can look at this guy if he wins and says and give him any sort of credible standing in the Senate. I just don't know how that could happen. And in fact, it's going to be an albatross around the Republican Party. And, you know, if I was running for office as a Democrat, if I was running for office, I would make some big hay out of this story that the Republican Party is complicit in helping get this guy elected, and there he sits now in the Senate. What kind of a party would allow that to happen? What kind of a party would the Republican Party have become? Well, folks, you know, he's toxic in a religious sense, given that what we know today, and I can tell you this, he will have to answer to his God for what he has done and what he has later said about what he has done. That's between Roy Moore and God. That's between Roy Moore and God. And I can tell you one thing, he ain't fooling God. He may fool some folks in Alabama with his hypocritical crusade against the liberal, so-called liberal media, but he ain't fooling God. Roy, you know that's right. You know I'm right. Folks, we got to take a stand against this. We can't let it happen. It could happen, but that doesn't make it right. You got to stand up sometimes for what you believe in, and this ain't right. Well, I've got another story coming right up here, and you might be shocked, but I'm going to give Trump a little credit. Meanwhile, hang on. Well, when Donald Trump was on his Asian trip here, and I'm working on an interesting story that has to do with Rocket Man and North Korea. I think you might find that interesting coming up. But when Trump was on this Asian trip, he had a fast conversation with Vladimir Putin. And in that conversation, Trump said that Putin again said that he did not meddle in the U.S. election. And Trump said something like, I can only ask him so many times. I can only ask so many times. Well, here's the deal. You can't ask him if he meddled in the election. You can't just do it like that. You have to say something like, did anyone you know work to influence the election? You know, it's a word game here. You just can't say, did you do it? No, you got to go. You have to be like a lawyer. Did anyone you know work to influence the election? Now, Putin may not have directly meddled in the election himself. He probably gave that dirty work to someone else to do, you know, I would think, don't you? I mean, so it's all about how you ask it. You get the answer. And even if he had asked it the other way, I can't guarantee that Vladimir Putin would have given him a yes or no, it probably would have, if he had asked them if anyone you had under your command worked to influence the election, he probably would have given some sort of vague answer. I mean, he's not going to say that he did it. I mean, is he? Do you think so? I mean, do you think for a second that Putin would ever come out and say that? I mean, why ask? Why ask? Really? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. What a waste of time. Anyway, Trump later stressed that he was not accepting Putin's denials at face value. Instead, Trump said that he thought Putin was being basically genuine. Whatever that means, he said that he thought he was being genuine. However, Trump later said that, and I quote him here, as to whether I believe it or not, I am with our agencies, especially as currently constituted with the current leadership. Now, that's kind of a weird way of saying it, but it sounds like he was actually saying, you know, I don't really believe that because, you know, our intel is saying otherwise. I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like. Why he just didn't come out and say it? I mean, he's so blunt in some respects, but he's obviously very, you know, starched and kind of blocky about the way that he actually said that he did not believe it. And I know there's this big Russian meddling investigation that's going on, but this is, it's sort of a little bit of a glimmer, like a little flashlight on the hill in the fog. You know, maybe I can see it up there on the hill, a little bit of light, you know. And you know, I gotta say, at least you know, he's moving in the right direction. Come on, everybody. Yeah, okay, see? I mean, it's kind of good to hear. You know, I still don't agree with 99.9% of what he does or what he says. But I don't always pummel Trump like some people say that I do. Now, if we can only get him to stand up against Roy Moore. Come on, man. Well, I've got some interesting stuff coming right up after this. And I want you to stay tuned for it. It's going to be a good story. Hang in there. Well, I've got to share this article with you here from the National Geographic. Yep, the National Geographic. And if you like dogs, you'll love this story. And this goes all the way down into Costa Rica. There's a dog rescue facility where no dogs are killed, and all the dogs are welcome to just roam free across the tropical mountain landscape. And in Spanish, it's called the Territorio de Zaguates. And I think that translates to Land of the Stray Dogs. But it's a no-kill shelter, and every animal that comes in, he gets a name. He or she gets a name. And according to the National Geographic article, there are 970 dogs, oh my God, at this facility right now. That's amazing. 970 dogs, and it's a no-kill shelter. It's located about an hour from downtown San Jose, and the shelter itself consists of about 378 acres of tropical mountain land, where scores of dogs play and race among human visitors, shelter employees, and volunteers. Most of these dogs are also up for adoption, and if you like, you can bring your own dog to play with the rest of the dogs. And man, I'd sure love to go here, but since I've already got three dogs, two of which are rescues, and I love them all, my God, if I went there, I know I would find something to bring home. No matter what the cost, I'd find one or two to bring home. And I can tell you, it would probably trigger a pitchfork revolt here in the neighborhood with my elderly neighbors. Not everybody is as dog-friendly as I am, although I'm a good owner. You know, I don't let them stay outside and bark. they're well taken care of, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, old folks, anyway. Well, the founders of this, you know, this no-kill shelter here, one of them's called, their name is Laya Battle, and her husband, Alvaro Suame. And they began taking in stray dogs from the streets about 13 years ago. They've been at this. And it's not cheap, I'll have you know, feeding 970 dogs. In fact, it costs a lot more than you think. It's about $600 a day in dog food to feed 970 dogs. They also have an employee, at least one employee, at least, that I could figure out, which also adds to the expenses. And they've got a Facebook page, which I'll post on my website, www.rustedculture.com. But if you just simply go to Google and type in Land of the Strays, Costa Rica, I think you'll find what I'm looking at. And give that a try. Check it out. Great story. Somebody that's doing something good on a pretty good size basis. And more than likely, this is an area of deep need down there, you know, with the population, you know, and the lack of money and economy and all that. They're doing something really good here, folks. And if you can, give if you can, you know, to this endeavor. In this world that we live in today, there's so much killing, so much hatred. You know, we live with this on a daily basis. It's the hatred, the killing. These folks are doing something good. It's great to see people doing stuff like this and caring for the little things, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of what counts at the end of the day. They're caring for the little things. Well, I want to thank you for joining me again today for my impromptu afternoon rant here. And we'll look for you again next time around. We'd like to have you back, and we do appreciate you being here. So till then, folks, I want you to take care, and we'll talk to you then.